So, Father, when we come to your scripture, we dig into it, and the Holy Spirit show us God's word. And it's in God's word that we get God's will and God's way for us. So, Father, this afternoon, I pray that you will just download afresh the new revelation, not really new revelation, but in a fresh way, the revelation about your covenant and the kingdom of God and how it all converge in Christ, in Jesus' name. So now close your eyes, all right? Just think about movies that you've seen where someone suddenly discover they were a prince or princess. So this person, I'm sure you got movies in your head like Cinderella, all that stuff, that, you know, it's like nobody. But suddenly, the identity of the royal priest or royal DNA was revealed. So I hope that you realize that you were actually born in a heavenly royal family. And that's what God designed right from the beginning, and how Jesus fulfilled it. Adam kind of dropped the ball, but Jesus, the second Adam, picked it up and run with it and run completely. All right? Let's look at the first slide, please. So this is what we used to in the gospel. For God so loved the world. Sorry. Melinda's going to... can you get a mic? All right, I'll read this one. You get a mic. For God so loved the world. All right, God initiated. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which is the weapon from heaven, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. So before Christ come, there is no eternal life. So it has to come from somewhere. The earth is the dominion of the devil. Dominion is also can be described a kingdom, but I'll unpack it a bit, all right? For God did not send the Son into the world, that's the invasion into the devil's dominion, to judge the world, but that the world, the people of the world might be saved through him. That's the gospel we understand. So what does it got to do with covenant and the kingdom of God? So I hopefully will unpack it. This is really a 5-6 sermon, but hopefully you get it. People go to Bible college to study this. All right, next one. Okay. What is God's covenant? All right. If you get this, like say, my sermon is over. You can get it. That's it. So what we want to do is unpack what is God's covenant and what's the kingdom of God. So basically, if there's no covenant, in my view, there's no kingdom. The kingdom came because there was a covenant. So what is the covenant? A covenant is a sacred contract or agreement between two parties. But generally, when God do the covenant, when God do the, can someone not do that? When God do the covenant, all right, he initiate the contract. So you can dig the Old Testament how the covenant was cut. That's the word they use because there's a bit of shedding of blood. All right? So marriage is the closest thing we can understand between relationship. So if I marry Zanny, all right, I am saying to Zanny, for better and worse, I'm going to be your partner forever. So that's the kind of partnership. But because God is like, you know what, I take 100% of the contract. You just obey certain things, all right? That's a covenant, okay? So covenant is all about relationship. It's all about relationship. So God wants a covenant relationship with you. A very soul-like marriage is like, hey, I want you for myself. Don't go and sleep around. Don't go and worship other gods. You know, I will look after you. That's the covenant. What is the kingdom? Kingdom, very simply, my Chinese brain is break up in two words. In kingdom, there's a king. All right? Then the other word, dom, can be dominion or domain. Domain is a territory. You can locate it. Dominion is more the rule and the reign. So it's more like the doing thing. The rule and reign can happen anywhere if you belong to that relationship. So when I married Marie so long ago, all right, when I go to Jakarta, all right, in May, am I still married with Marie? But I can pretend nobody knows to be a single man. I'll take out my ring. You know, I'm so good looking. But in my heart, if I have a covenant relationship with her, I will carry that marriage in my heart. So the people of God were called to do that. But they go somewhere, go here, go there. They're like, oh, Yahweh, too hard to follow you. So they break the covenant. All right? And they break the rulership of God in their heart. God is not a nasty master. He's a really, really good partner. So talking about partner, so I don't know whether you remember that Simon brought up the three P's of God's master plan. The first one? No. First one? Present. Second one? Power. Third one, partnership. So in that 3P, you can see the presence of God is about relationship. God say, hang around with me 24/7. I am eternal, so you can hang around me 24/7. And what's the power for? That's the authority and anointing, all right? The authority and anointing is to do the kingdom stuff. So I'll unpack it again. And the partnership is a covenant again. You know, God is, I'm the creator. I'm the big God, emperor God, I explained to Chinese. He's the emperor God. But he said, no, you're not my eunuch. You're my partner. We do this together. Next slide, please. Okay. So it begin here. Now, this covenant relationship is actually God doing it himself, because man was not alive yet, okay? So you think about covenant, it's right through the Bible. If you look through the Bible from beginning to end, it's like two railway track. One is the covenant, one's the kingdom of God, all right? You can see it going in parts. Some people favor just covenant, some people favor just kingdom of God. For me, you need both. Then you will get it, in my view, more correct. All right. So if you look at that, Melinda is going to read because I get dry mouth.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over all the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the earth.
All right. I don't know whether you noticed or not. I just picked up a bottle of water. I didn't even ask. Because it could be Eunice. It could be Maria one. But I didn't ask because I know it was Maria's one. That's covenant relationship. What's hers is mine. What's mine is mine. No, sorry. What's mine is hers too. So that's covenant relationship. And God entered that with us when he created the earth. Before he created earth, there was no one else. So he talked among himself and said, hey, let's do this together. Eh? All right? Let's create man after our image, in our likeness. What's God's likeness? He's the ruler of the universe. All right, that's the essence of God. He's not under, he's always above. And he's beyond everything. And he said, let's do it in our likeness. You know, the whole universe is ours. Why don't we just create earth and say, hey, Adam and Eve. All right, the word is be fruitful. Dominion. Go and do your stuff, you know, as in procreate. Have lots of babies. Take over the earth. All right? The word rule is kingdom. King rules. What kind of rules is then where we talk about, is it a good kingdom or the values of the kingdom of God? So Adam was given dominion and covenant. So this, you don't have the word covenant there, but you need to understand the background. So the theme is a covenant relationship. Next one, please. All right. So this, again, you can go right through. All right. Noah is like, okay, you guys, you keep blowing it. I'm going to flood you guys out. And then one family, Noah, like, hey, God, are you going to kill us all? Then I'll spare you. So that's a covenant. And the rainbow was, I'm not going to wipe mankind anymore. The rainbow was there. All right. And out of that, then Abraham popped up. Abraham was the closest thing to like, so all the covenant is one guy, but it's about people. So Isaac, again, God say, okay, you can't have a son. I'll give you the son. It's again God saying, I'll do it for you. I know you don't know how to have babies, but I'll do it for you. So that's a covenant. And then the covenant grows and you say, okay, you're going to be lots of descendants and you're going to have nation come after you. You bless them, they'll bless, you know. So that's covenant. And then there's also dominion again. Abraham was called to be that. And then you have Mosaic, and Simon unpack it a bit, but there's covenant in it, and Melinda is going to read Exodus 19, 3 to 6. Listen to it. No, not yet. No, you read that, but not that yet. Joshua, please.
While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel.
See, covenant. All the earth is mine, but you are going to be my people. All right? Exodus, we always think like, oh, God is taking Israel from Egypt to the promised land. But he actually say, I take you on the eagle wing to bring you to myself. The presence of God. That's the true covenant of God. So it's not physical, it's actually relationship. And then you are going to be a house and a nation and the kingdom of priests. The kingdom again, covenant and kingdom. No covenant, no kingdom. So kingdom need to be explained in terms of relationship. The presence of God before the power, there is a presence of God. And then Davidic covenant, which we're going to explore. So David was the king, and he displayed what it would be like if someone who have a heart after God and rule the people of God under God, what it looks like. But even David, the man after God's heart, he failed. He failed miserably at the end. And Solomon was not the descendant that was going to pick up and run with it to have eternal kingdom. So we're going to see that. We're going to use that example. And then Christ came in the New Testament. Then we kind of like, it's all about covenant, isn't it? We're going to do communion. Communion is about the new covenant, the cutting where blood needs to be shed. You need to, you know, if you want to Google those things, just study that. And then Christ also brought the kingdom. Next one, please. All right. So this is something, David covenant, that we look at as an example. Please.
To my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may live in their own place.
Next one, please.
I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him. As I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever.
So if you understand the Old Testament again, Solomon was David's son, and he was the wisest man, and God gave him a lot of discernment, but he blew it too. So his kingdom didn't last. So if you read something like that, you're like, maybe the Bible is true. But the Bible is read in a prophetic way because David descended and Abraham's son was eventually converted to Christ. So Christ's kingdom will be forever and ever. All right? So David, a priest and a king, understood that. So again, it's a covenant and kingdom. He shall build a house. House is always representing people, family. And in this covenant, God even moved closer and say, I will be their father. No longer they are in the wilderness, lost or whatever. I will father them. I will be unto them in that kind of covenant relationship. So there is a lot of I will, I will, I will. That's the best part about God's covenant. He do 100%. And we see that in Jesus. He did it all. And our part is like, yes, I love the new covenant. I'll grab it and be all that you say I am. So your house and your kingdom. House, like say, is a family, is a relationship. And kingdom, again, back to Genesis, we were called to co-rule with God. Shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Next one, please. So, this is hard to explain, but it's quite easy if you understand again. We are born with royal blood. When we come to Christ, Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So guess who are we when we receive the Spirit of Christ? We are the kingdom of priests and prophet. I put the prophet in because we are supposed to be prophetic people. So priest is basically standing in the gap and saying, God, please forgive them. I bring sacrifice to you. So it's Godwards. You know, priest is doing this, Godwards. But prophet, when they hang out with God in the priesthood, they come down and say, hey, guys, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Come on, don't go under the devil's dominion. Those are darkness. The light has come. That is prophetic people. When you share the gospel, what are you sharing? You're sharing something that is going to be realized completely when they encounter Christ. When Christ comes in to be the ruler in their heart, the Spirit rule and reign, that's the kingdom of God. So they're no longer under the dominion of darkness. They can live free, but they also can live as a prophet. And then they go around and say, hey, guys, let me tell you, there's a kingdom coming. You know, there's a kingdom coming. All this war, all this plague is going to finish because the kingdom of God is already near. It's already here. We just can't see it yet, but we need to live by faith. So we are called to be a kingdom priest, standing in the gap for the sin of the world and praying because we have the power and access to the kingdom now, the throne, but we also have access to declare the good news. Next one, please. So here, David acts like a prophet because that's in Psalm 8 and it hasn't happened yet. So David, a lot of David's psalm, if you read, is actually quite prophetic. It hasn't happened yet, but he could see what was happening because David was like a priest. He just loved hanging out. He set up a tabernacle 24-7 because he's like, you know, Psalm 24, 27, verse 4. You know, I just want to hang out in the presence of God, you know, day and night. Can you read that, please?
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet.
Yeah. You see that? Now, do you feel that? Do you feel like you are royal children? Is the kingdom of God within you? When you step out, are you able to like put on your priesthood and say, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done? Are you able to talk to people and say, hey, that's not the right way. That's being prophetic. That's what prophet is. One who hears and knows God's heart and able to articulate in this contemporary current context. That's what we're called to do. You know, the glory of God is upon us already. And David saw that. Next one, please. All right, now we come to the New Testament. So we read John 3, 16 and 17. But the core of the gospel is all about the kingdom because the dominion of darkness, the devil kingdom of darkness, need to be invaded with the light, with the love, with the life of God. That's why John the Baptist, a prophet, declared, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God is similar. Heaven is not a place like we think. It's like, we are here, earth, heaven is there. Heaven is where all the presence of God dominate. And how he dominates is we human beings who given the dominion to the devil, we kind of step in and say, King Jesus, come to my heart. Then the kingdom of God has come. It come, and the living spirit in us is a living well. May it fill us to overflow. When it overflow, it becomes streams of living water. So the kingdom of God then usher out. All right? So John said that, and then Jesus said the same thing. Because that's what he came for. Repent, the word repent is simply change your direction. change that you're under different management now and come under the different king. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So when Jesus declared that, the kingdom of God has not fully come yet, because he still have to fight against the dominion of the devil, death, flesh, and sin. So Mark 1, 14, 15, can you read that again, please? Yeah.
Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God, heaven, is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
So covenant relationship, God is doing everything, but our part is to believe, receive, and live it out. Next one, please. All right. So Jesus came, John the Baptist, that's before Jesus died. All right. Now post-resurrection, what is Paul's message?
Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered.
So that's the last verse of Acts. And his last 2 years, Paul like, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about Jesus Christ. Now, I repeat that because a lot of Christians study so much about the Old Testament that they miss out. It's all about the kingdom of God in Christ, and it's all about Jesus Christ. I think if you can study the New Testament in such a way and not knowing the dates of all the names in the Old Testament, I think you will do well. You'll do great exploit in the kingdom of darkness. So I'm not scholarly, and I'm not saying don't do it. All I'm saying is it's that simple. It's all about Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about his kingdom, his rule and reign. And then Paul unpack it in Romans 14, 17, please.
For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
So I break the kingdom of God as there is a king, there is a dominion or domain. So the domain is in your heart. It's not out there. So God say, I'm going to do stuff within you. And from within you, you bring out righteousness. You bring out peace and joy wherever you go. You know, because you are priests. You can stand in the gap and say, I come through the throne of grace because Jesus, my high priest, and in Jesus' name as a high priest, I come before God to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. So that's our role. That's our kingly role right here, right now. Not when you die. When you die, you don't need to do prophet and priesting. All right? It's right here, right now. This is the authority and anointing you have. You have the presence of God. You do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit because the kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit is in you and with you. Next one, please. All right. So the New Testament, the kingdom of God is about covenant relationship and Christ's rulership. And the way Christ rules you is not like the devil. He's full of grace and truth. And the relationship Christ has done is he's done it all. All your sin is forgiven. The only condition you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ 100%. Receive what he has done for you. That's your covenant relationship. So if I give Maria a ring and he doesn't wear it, what does it say? She doesn't wear it. All right? But she is in love with me. She's like, oh, wow, this is a ring that my good-looking husband, 5'5", you know, put in my finger. You know what I mean? That's covenant relationship. So we got a ring in our heart to say, you know what? I don't belong to any of you. I I belong to Jesus Christ. That's how I'm going to live. Not a people pleaser. You know, your opinion doesn't count. I do respect you. I do humble you. But the lover of my soul, that's how I live. I have a covenant relationship with Christ. In fact, this relationship is such, it's not 50-50, it's 100%. He will take care. His kingdom come, he will take care of me. He's my shepherd. Next one, please. All right. So this prayer, again, is before resurrection. I'm very particular of the time that things are set. So I know we use it, but I don't want to say it's wrong. But post-resurrection, we can use it with a different context because his kingdom already come. So when we say, your kingdom come now, to me is a wrong language. His kingdom is already here. It's like recognizing how do we rule and reign with the Spirit right here, right now. So the prayer was not forever, but I know traditionally, you know, we do that. So just think about it, you know, why we do it. If we are post-resurrection, Jesus' resurrected life is within us already. His kingdom already come because we have the Holy Spirit. So all the words say righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? It's here. So to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Anyway, it's something for you to consider. But again, it's a covenant relationship that Jesus was trying to introduce. It's, you know, my Father. It's not, hey, God in the universe. It's Father. It's relationship. All right? Hallowed be your name because you are holy. So Jesus taught the disciple to pray like that before he died. Now that he died, I think we need to change our language. Because if we pray like that, then we got a wrong expectation. We're still praying for his kingdom to come. When Jesus say, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then he come, he died, he's already brought the kingdom. So just have a think about it. I know I'm going against lots of tradition, all right? And forgive us our sin as we forgive others. Hasn't Jesus forgiven us? Wasn't that the full deal, the new covenant? Didn't he wash our sin away? Yes, we do still sin, but we don't have to like every day, oh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Just have a think about it, all right? This is the kingdom of theology and the new covenant. It is a progression, and where is it now? That's what I'm asking. Where is it now? Do you have a post-resurrection Christ who died on the cross? If it's a post-resurrection Christ, then he in me is still not having to deal with the temptation of the world, the disturbance of the devil, because he's already conquered all. So we live from that place. It is knowing that truth that will set us free. All right, I know it's going to ruffle a few brain, but the Reformation is salvation by grace and faith. We all agree that, all right? And then justification, sanctification, and glorification. What if I were to say it's actually justification and then glorification? It's already done. It's not positioning. It's a reality, but our reality is here, but the faith level is here. I know. I don't live there. But that's faith. Faith is we already glorified. We already kings. We already priests. We already prophet. We can walk like that and we can bring the kingdom. We do not have to pray for the kingdom to come. We carry the kingdom. We carry the presence. We carry the power of God. And we are in full partnership with the Holy Spirit 24/7. It's when we grieve the Holy Spirit, when we stifle the Holy Spirit, it's our part saying, no, thank you. I just need time out. But the Holy Spirit, the faithful Father, will never, never leave us, because that's the covenant relationship. It's never broken. You think the devil still will take the kingdom of God away from us? No way. It will be forever and ever. So we are supposed to bring the kingdom of God through right here, right now. I always like this analogy. If you want to soar like an eagle, don't hang out with the turkeys. You know what I mean? So we think we're still born turkeys when we're supposed to be soaring like an eagle. That's my message for today. So we're going to come to communion, all right? Communion, again, Jesus said, this is my new covenant. I cut, I bleed, so that you are purified. You don't have to cut yourself.